is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Momentum appeared to be on the side of U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris on Monday as a groundswell of Democratic lawmakers, governors, and financial donors expressed their support for her to be the party's presidential nominee in the November election after President Joe Biden dropped out of the race Sunday. AP correspondent Jennifer King reports.
Biden called Harris to inform her of his decision Sunday morning, and by the afternoon, his campaign had formally changed its name to Harris for President. The VP inherits Biden's political operation with more than 1,000 staffers and a multi-million-dollar war chest. A person familiar with the matter says Harris spent much of Sunday surrounded by family and staff and made more than 100 calls to Democratic officials to line up their support. Reaching out to Democratic Party delegations from Florida to New Hampshire to the Carolinas, the Associated Press found many have already lined up behind Harris, while others plan to hold conference calls today. If Harris does lock up the nomination, she must also pick a running mate and boost her candidacy with just 2.5 months between the end of the Democratic convention in Chicago and Election Day. I'm Jennifer King.
U.S. President Joe Biden's decision to bow out of the 2024 presidential race has left a lot of uncertainty with U.S. allies overseas. Speaking to reporters ahead of the European Union's foreign minister meeting in Brussels Monday, Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell acknowledged the uncertainties, but said it was up to the U.S. voters to decide what happens next.
Well, the Americans have to decide who they want to be in the White House. And certainly, I'm sure it will be quite an important difference for the transatlantic relationship depending on who is there. But it is the U.S. citizens to decide. I don't want to interfere. I don't think it's our role to go and to tell the Americans what do they have to do.
For more on this story and all the stories we're covering today, visit our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. A new report from the international aid group, Doctors Without Borders, known better by their French acronym, MSF, has accused Sudan's army and the paramilitary rapid forces they're battling of a blatant disregard for human life, as it described the widespread violence being inflicted on Sudanese civilians. Reuters correspondent David Doyle reports.
Between the 15th of August until the 30th.
They have, the medical aid group said, faced repeated attacks, abuse and exploitation by both sides. And the physical and mental wounds have been exacerbated, according to an MSF report, by the collapse of Sudan's healthcare system and a lack of international humanitarian response. Vicky Hawkins is General Director for MSF Netherlands.
Since May, MSF-supported hospitals or premises have been hit by shelling or airstrikes at least 5 times, leading to the deaths of health workers and patients, including children.
Hawkins said sexual and gender-based violence is pervasive.
That's Reuters correspondent David Doyle reporting. China and the Philippines have apparently come to an agreement over a long-disputed shoal in the South China Sea. AP correspondent Charles Deledesma reports.
China and the Philippines say they've reached a deal intended to end confrontations at the most fiercely disputed shoal in the South China Sea. The Philippines occupies Second Thomas Shoal, but China also claims it, and increasingly hostile flare-ups between them have sparked fears of larger conflict that could involve the U.S. The deal was reached after a series of meetings between Philippine and Chinese diplomats in Manila and exchanges of diplomatic notes that aimed to reach an agreement at the shoal without conceding either side's territorial claims. Neither side has provided any details on the deal announced on Sunday. I'm Charles Deledesma.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is headed to Washington, leaving behind a brutal war, to make a politically precarious speech before a joint session of the U.S. Congress. Departure Monday comes at a time of great uncertainty following U.S. President Joe Biden's withdrawal from the presidential race, with efforts ongoing to bring about a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, rising concerns of the war spreading to Lebanon and Yemen, and a U.S. in the midst of a dizzying election campaign. Netanyahu's speech has the potential to cause disarray on both sides of the ocean. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.
Africa News tonight on The Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News tonight.
African voices, African leadership, African innovation, all are critical to addressing the most pressing global challenges and to realizing the vision we all share, a world that is free, a world that is open, prosperous, and secure.
That was U.S. President Joe Biden, who just dropped out of the U.S. presidential race, speaking at the U.S.-Africa summit in 2022. Details coming up also. South Sudan stunned the world in nearly beating the heavily favored U.S. team in a warm-up for the Olympic Games. And recent internet outages due to underwater cable failures underscores Africa's reliance on single-path connectivity. These stories and more on Africa News tonight. Our top story, some political analysts in Africa say Joe Biden has prioritized the continent like no other U.S. president, and his withdrawal yesterday from this year's race for the White House will leave many disappointed. But they say Biden's endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris to oppose former President Donald Trump will excite Africans. Darren Taylor reports.
In 2022, at a summit with African leaders, President Joe Biden articulated his administration's new strategy on the continent. He dedicated the United States to trade with democratic African countries and recognized Africa's growing geopolitical and economic importance.
The United States is all in on Africa and all in with Africa. African voices, African leadership, African innovation, all are critical to addressing the most pressing global challenges and to realizing the vision we all share, a world that is free, a world that is open, prosperous, and secure. Africa belongs to the table in every room where global challenges are being discussed.
Under Biden, Washington started trying to erode China's huge presence in Africa, beginning infrastructure projects of its own and signing a long list of military and security agreements with African partners. The Biden administration acknowledges Africa's rare earth minerals are essential to manufacturing the green energy systems the world needs. It acknowledges Africa's large and young labor force will be needed in the future, especially in developed countries where populations are aging. South African international relations expert Nobile Zwane says many in Africa are hoping Democrats nominate Vice President Kamala Harris to battle former President Donald Trump in November.
Whether Kamala Harris will be the best candidate that can win elections, I don't know. There are dynamics in the United States of America. The issue of patriarchy is likely going to play itself. The issue of race, you need very powerful people to be behind her, even big business in the United States. Kamala will continue with what Biden has started and what Biden was doing. You can see a situation where many Americans might rally behind her, including women, and not only women of color, but women in general.
John Stremlau, professor of international relations at Wits University in Johannesburg, says a Harris run would generate hope in Africa, not just because she's a black woman, but because she shares Biden's enthusiasm for the continent.
I never thought I'd live to see a black family in the White House, and I did with the Obamas, and so I feel that America is very slowly moving forward, and it's changing.
Stremlau says another Trump presidency wouldn't be good for Africa, given that his first term in office was characterized, according to him, by disinterest in the continent. Another foreign affairs expert, former U.S. diplomat Brooks Spector, says Harris has an extremely good chance of being the Democratic nominee.
You're going to start seeing, I suspect, over the next couple of days, affirmations of this kind of support from people like Nancy Pelosi, from Barack Obama, from various of the other people who would have been considered as possible contenders, a number of the different governors, some senators. So people like Gavin Newsom, who's the governor of California, will probably look at this and say, I think my best shot is to wait for 4 years, but get organized for it, because none of these people up until this moment really have waged anything that even begins to look like a candidacy for the nomination.
Suane says Harris is the ideal candidate to take advantage of Trump's flaws in that she's younger, is a black woman, and is an excellent orator. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Joe Biden's decision to drop out of the U.S. presidential race has many people around the world talking. In Nairobi, Andrew Okia says he did not expect this development.
The decision by President Biden not to run for re-election comes as a surprise. To me, what it does is that it might create complication in the Democratic Party. In fact, the reasons why many people were pushing Biden out was to get a candidate they thought could stand up to Trump. So Trump or that candidate might win the election. I don't think it will have much of an impact to Africa, because America is about America. It's not about Africa.
Also in Nairobi, Yonis Mugo is upbeat about U.S. President Kamala Harris's chances in the race.
The withdrawal of Biden from the presidential election has come at a bad time to Africa. Joe Biden has been so close to African countries. I expect Kamala to follow the footsteps of Joe Biden. Time has come for a woman to lead that powerful country in the world. Harris should not despair because of the withdrawal of Joe Biden.
Another voice from Nairobi, Innocent Maganya, is disappointed about Biden's decision.
Biden's withdrawal does not augur well for Africa. Joe Biden wanted to counteract the influence of China and Russia on Africa.
In Abuja, May Sonami said she thought Biden had been a good leader for the U.S.
Apart from that, he's not a discriminatory person. He embraces every race. He embraces everyone, irrespective of color, status, irrespective of the continent you're from. Whatever it is, he's just American president that stood for America for all. And so you could see in the representatives in different countries in the House, you saw a whole lot of Africans attaining political positions and different high positions in the United States of America. So,
also in Abuja, Steve Sunday thought Biden's decision wasn't entirely unexpected and sets a good example.
I want to say that President Biden has shown that America can continue to be a good example in democracy, especially to African leaders and other places of the world where democracy is practiced. So I think it's a good thing, it's a good example, and I hope African leaders are taking good notes so that when the time comes, they also know when to apply the brakes.
You can keep up on the latest on U.S. politics on voaafrica.com and voanews.com and on all your favorite VOA programs. As we just reported, a cascade of crises facing President Joe Biden's re-election campaign led him to drop out of the race yesterday, just 15 weeks before Americans go to the polls. The decision, as Biden recuperated at home from his third case of COVID-19, was not a surprise. But now the Democratic Party must scramble to decide who will take Biden's place against former President Donald Trump in the race. We have Anita Powell, who covers the White House for VOA, on the line to talk to us about the situation. So welcome to Africa News Tonight, Anita.
Good morning from the White House.
So what has been the reaction in Washington and across the country to Biden's decision?
I think it's clear that everybody has an opinion on the stunning events of this weekend with President Joe Biden's decision to leave the presidential race. We've seen this run the gamut from his critics, such as the Speaker of the House, saying if you can't run for president, then maybe you shouldn't even be president, urging him to drop out of the presidency. And people who believe that this was the right thing to do. We just heard from his vice president, who is his pick for the presidential ticket, and she thanked him for his service as president and complimented his service views to the country. And so we're seeing a whole gamut of opinions here.
So has this kind of situation happened before?
I think we're in new and uncharted waters on this one. We've had similar situations. For example, in 1968, President Lyndon B. Johnson decided not to run for re-election. But a president leaving the presidential race about 100 days, 104 days, I believe, from Election Day is unprecedented.
Biden has endorsed his vice president, Kamala Harris, to replace him as the Democratic nominee. How is the decision process expected to play out?
That's a really good question. We're going to finalize whoever the candidate is in late August at the Democratic National Convention. Right now, it does seem that the machinery is behind Vice President Harris. She, of course, is the recipient of all of the campaign infrastructure, all of the campaign finance, all of the fundraising that the Biden campaign has done. So she has a pretty strong head start. But we also need to see her choose a vice presidential candidate. And that's all going to play out probably in mid to late August at the Democratic National Convention.
Are there any other top prospects you could name?
So there have been a lot of names thrown around. You know, top Democrats, including the governor of Michigan, the governor of Georgia, the governor of Pennsylvania, the governor of the senator from Arizona. But these are all right now just speculative. I think with all of these quick changes, it's important to just see what happens and not try to second guess what's going to happen next.
Anita Powell, who covers the White House for VOA, thank you for your input.
A pleasure.
Kamala Harris, America's first female vice president, could be nominated to take the top spot on the Democratic Party ticket for president of the United States. Senior Washington correspondent Caroline Presutto looks back at her roots and her years in office.
Please raise your right hand and repeat.
A history-making moment in the United States in 2021.
So help me God.
As former Senator Kamala Harris became the nation's first female vice president.
It is my honor to be here, to stand on the shoulders of those who came before.
Harris is also the first Black American and Indian American to serve in the nation's second highest job.
She's broken so many glass ceilings for so many women.
The daughter of an Indian mother and a Jamaican father, Harris was born in Oakland, California. A mural of her appears at the school she was bused to as a child, as part of racial integration efforts. A graduate of Howard University, Harris became the first female district attorney in San Francisco in 2004. And then in 2011, the first Black woman to serve as California's attorney general. During her years as vice president, Harris has been vocal about the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade, a 1973 decision that had made abortion legal nationwide. During his term, former President Donald Trump appointed three conservative justices to the high court.
He proudly, he uses the word proudly, takes credit for overturning Roe. Yeah. So make no mistake, if Trump gets the chance, he will sign a national abortion ban to outlaw abortion in every single state.
The vice president also applauds continuation of the Affordable Care Act and the reduced price of insulin achieved by the Biden administration.
Raise your hand if you have a family member with diabetes.
Early on, she was tapped to lead the administration's efforts at the border. But the Biden campaign ended up on defense, with immigration a key issue in the 2024 election.
Now, undocumented spouses of American citizens who have been in the country for 10 or more years can stay in the country while they apply for a green card.
Speaking to pro-immigrant groups like the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders, she quickly turns the focus to Donald Trump's words.
that someone who vilifies immigrants, who promotes xenophobia, someone who stokes hate, should never again have the chance to stand behind a microphone and the seal of the President of the United States.
Harris has become more present at rallies like these on the campaign trail after President Joe Biden's stumbling performance in the June debate with former President Donald Trump.
We beat Trump once and we're going to beat him again, period.
With President Biden's withdrawal from the race on Sunday, if Harris is nominated, she would again make history as the first Black and Indian American woman to run for the nation's highest office.
God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Carolyn Persucci, VOA News.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. And for more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. South Sudan's national basketball team delivered a surprising performance over the weekend when the East African team nearly beat the U.S. men's national basketball team in their final exhibition match before the Olympic Games. The games open on Friday, July 26th, in the French capital, Paris. VOA's Mike Hove has more.
Basketball officials and commentators across the world, including from the U.S. National Basketball Association, NBA, took to social media over the weekend to applaud South Sudan's bright stars. The team lost to the U.S. men's national basketball team by just 1 point on Saturday. The final score in their last exhibition match ahead of the Paris Olympics was Team U.S. 101 and South Sudan 100. This is the first time a South Sudan team has qualified for the Olympics. In a press statement after the game, South Sudan's head coach, Royal Ivy, a former NBA player, applauded his team for showing resilience, adding, "They put on for the world today. There are no moral victories in basketball. We didn't come out with the win, but we competed. And that's all I asked from them from day one." Steve Kerr, Ivy's U.S. counterpart, said the exhibition games played against Serbia, Canada, and South Sudan were tough, but also good preparations for the Olympic Games.
Yeah, for sure. We wanted good competition, and, you know, we've played, obviously, some tough teams already, and it's good preparation for us.
Experts say Saturday's game was of great significance for the Bright Stars because they managed to compete against a star-studded U.S. team. The American team includes Steph Curry, a multiple award-winning athlete, and LeBron James, a three-time Olympic medalist, and the NBA's highest point scorer of all time, with 40,474 points throughout his 21-year career. James was a saving grace for the U.S. in the game against South Sudan by scoring a layup in the last seconds. In a video published on the NBA's X account, James is captured expressing appreciation for a close game against the Bright Stars.
"I'm gonna be honest, I like those ones better than the blowouts. At least we get tested.
The two teams are scheduled to play again during the group phase of the Paris Olympics on July 31. They share a group with Puerto Rico and Serbia. Mike Ove, VOA News, Washington.
Recent internet outages in sub-Saharan Africa due to underwater cable failures have highlighted the continent's reliance on single-path connectivity. The disruptions in March and May have caused problems for people accessing online banking, communication delays, and interrupted businesses across many countries. Experts say Africa needs to invest in robust infrastructure if the continent is to have reliable internet. Mohammed Yusuf reports.
One Thursday in March on the west coast of West Africa, four submarine cables that deliver the internet to at least 17 African countries went offline, disrupting communications, businesses and services in the region. Less than 2 months later, internet outages were experienced in eastern and southern Africa when two undersea cables were damaged. In Tanzania, the United States Embassy in Dar es Salaam closed for 2 days due to the disruption. Ben Gumu is a businessman who relies on the internet to sell clothes, shoes and children's wares. He says he lost business during the disruption in Kenya.
Lots of clients, because in the process you are trying to like make a deal with someone, he puts stuff in the basket, but because of the outage, he cannot complete the sale, so he cancels. So in a way, it actually affected ourselves, updating of the page. You realize you've got new products, but you cannot update them. So when clients visit your site, they still find the old stock.
Some countries were able to stay online, though service was slow and not stable because internet service providers and telecommunication carriers had invested in more than one international connection. According to the telecommunications research company Telegeography, over 100 cable cuts occur globally each year. Experts blame the outages on undersea volcanic activities, rockfalls, recent rainfall, and strong currents in rivers. The currents in some rivers are much stronger than when some of the cables were built and deployed. Man-made activities also caused disruptions. According to one report, a ship was attacked in the Red Sea, started to drift, and its anchor pulled up three underwater cables. Mike Last works with the West Indian Ocean Cable Company, which operates in 20 African countries and has built 36 data centers across three African markets. He says recent disruptions made officials and business people recognize the need for better internet infrastructure.
What it's made people realize is that you have to invest in reliable network. You have to invest in redundancy. We've seen a real boom in clients coming to us wanting connectivity on the new subsea systems, whereas in the past they might have put that decision off another 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. Now they're coming to us to take that connectivity now. So I think it's really brought home to people that investing in resilience and reliability is important.
According to the World Bank, sub-Saharan Africa's digital infrastructure coverage, access and quality are still far behind those of other regions. However, Africa is embracing the digital future. According to the submarine cable networks, 37 countries have at least one subsea cable connection and 20 countries have more than two subsea cables. Last says the planned laying of cables by Google and Meta will improve connectivity.
Well, the Equiano cable is a new cable. It's a very, very high capacity cable routed in a different way to bring more protection and more diversity. There's another new cable being built right now all the way around Africa. It's called To Africa. It was led by Meta, Facebook. Again, a number of operators are fiber pair owners in that cable. That means we own a very, very significant amount of capacity. And again, it's routed differently to all of the existing cables. It's bringing a lot more capacity to Africa, and that will help.
Experts warn disparities in connectivity across Africa are expected, but the development of infrastructure, government policies, and private sector investments can accelerate growth. Mohamed Yusuf, VOA News, Nairobi.
Ugandan opposition leader Bobi Wine says security forces are besieging his party headquarters on the eve of a planned anti-corruption march that has been banned. Wine, whose real name is Robert Chagulani, told French news agency AFP that heavily armed police and the military had surrounded the headquarters of his National Unity Platform in Kavuli, a suburb of the capital Kampala. On Saturday, Ugandan police said they had informed organizers they would not permit tomorrow's march. President Museveni said some elements have been planning illegal demonstrations, riots, and that anyone planning to protest is playing with fire. Wine has told those who plan to participate in the anti-corruption march that the regime is ready to shed their blood to stay in power, but this should not scare anyone. And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. Yehyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Al Santos, Thanks for choosing The Voice of America.